Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money at
Menards. Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. We're out here live today at Dunkin' in Hendersonville, 206 Indian Lake Boulevard, the grand reopening of Dunkin' out here. And we're going to be out here until 9 o'clock. So come by, say hi, get you a free donut. You're out here as well. Dunkin' in beautiful Hendersonville, Tennessee, my hometown. Feels like home out here, Joe. It's been a fun show so far.
Is there a cap for us on free donuts? I've had 17 so far.
I think you can get to 24.
Yeah.
I think you can do
one
it.
One per hour in the day.
Why not? Donuts are good, man. Pretty good stuff. We'll take your thoughts all
especially
show long.
Especially this time of day.
Yeah, no question. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. So we'll continue discussing Malik Willis and his performance on Saturday. Some other takeaways from the game on Saturday night. You brought up the running back position earlier. Tyjae Spears, electric in that game. 33-yard touchdown run looked really good. And, Joe, I don't know if the Titans feel this way, but I certainly do after the first couple of weeks of the preseason. I thought Chestnut played really well against Chicago. I thought he played well last year when given the opportunity. And I thought he was awesome in this game against Minnesota. I have seen enough from Julius Chestnut where I think he ought to be the third back. Now, I get it. How many – if things go ideally, how many touches is the third running back going to get throughout the course of the year? Probably not very many. So, obviously, special teams is going to have to be a big part of it. But to me, I think the running back room is pretty clear in my mind right now. It's Henry 1, Tyjae Spears 2, and I've got Julius Chestnut at 3. I think it's over. I think it should be over, and Chestnut should be the guy.
Okay, is Hassan Haskins 4?
No, I don't have him making the team.
Okay. Okay. I mean, so much of that outcome, I think, does rely on special teams. As I said, I did a new 53 today. Very exciting. And, you know, it's like you're comparing, like, the receiver. Like, I went light on the receiver room and heavier on the DB room, but it's about the special teams. You know, if Haskins is valued there, I still think he makes the team, which is my guess. But I'm with you. I think Chestnut is your RB3. Now, Henry and Spears are the two guys who are going to get the ball. And if the Titans have their way, those will be the only two guys who get the ball in the backfield.
Yep.
Right? I mean, but if you did have some kind of an injury to Henry, then I think Chestnut has demonstrated he's gotten better. And I thought last year he was one of the stories at camp. But he's a little bit more of a quote-unquote camp hero. Whereas I just think, I mean, look, man, that some of those plays he made the other night, those are big-time NFL plays. So I'm with you. And Mike Vrabel talking about how he embodies everything they want to be about. I mean, that kind of tells you a lot there too, right? So he was a standout. Another guy who – this is an interesting question for you on the camp hero front.
Okay.
Because I've been dubious through camp. I mean, you see flashes and you're like, yeah, you know, and obviously did some special things in college. But Caleb Murphy, and I asked Vrabel about him yesterday, the first sack he had two – but the first sack he had, and Vrabel went through yesterday how he wished he should have done it. He gotten the ball in the second one, all that stuff. But the move he made, I don't care if it was against a JV offensive lineman. I was like, dude, that
was pretty good.
Yeah, like, you know, we're talking about a guy who, Ferris State, in the great city of Big Rapids, Michigan, which is right around where Butch Jones from. And Butch went to Ferris State, by the way. Right? Yes, I believe so.
Pride of Ferris State.
That's right. 25 and a half sacks last year. 25 and a half sacks. Again, I don't care if those are all against managers from Hope College, 25 and a half freaking sacks is something else. So he's a tweener, and he's kind of smallish and stuff like that, which is kind of what you – right? That's what you see sometimes. And sometimes that just doesn't translate. But I just feel like he's got too much ability to just – put him on waivers, hope someone doesn't pick him up, and hope you put him on the practice squad. So I got him making this team. I don't know.
I mean,
am I being the prisoner of the camp hero moment? I might be.
It's hard, based on what he's done to this point, he's making it really difficult to keep him off the team. I mean, two sacks the other night, and like you said, he looks really good out there. It's not like it's flukes and, you know, the team's in coverage so long that the quarterback eventually just runs into him, you know. I mean, this is legitimate pass rush ability that we're seeing. So I don't think it's crazy. And also, like we've talked about trying to establish some depth there. You know, you've got Arden Key, and you've got obviously Harold Landry coming off the injury. You've got DeNico Autry, Jeffrey Simmons. Everybody feels great about, you know, those four guys and the pass rush they're going to be able to generate. But whether it's Rashad Weaver or somebody, like, could there be another wave of people that you know, maybe don't get a ton of snaps, but you can have some sort of a rotation out there that you feel good about in pass rushing situations. You know, I'm not convinced that, you know, Caleb Murphy is 100% that yet, but I don't know how you could be impressed by what we've seen to this point in the preseason. I don't think it's crazy at all to have him on the roster right now.
Yeah, and yeah, you could kind of look at him like, is he like the new Ola Danny?
Yeah.
Who was another guy, came out of nowhere in camp. You know, should thank Dylan Radins for helping him. You know, got to go against Dylan Radins a couple years ago, and that looked good for him. But you know, he was a good player. He was a good depth guy, and they needed him. You know, they needed him in there. So yeah, to me, like in the sub package, if you had to have Caleb Murphy out there, I think he could give somebody some trouble. Another guy who is. I know somebody on the text line wanted to talk about Tier Tartan, and
yep,
we'll get to that. But Sam O, which is, I'm just going to go to Sam
O. On that. Yep.
He's a really interesting player, too. He played a ton. He can line up inside, outside. He's kind of one of those versatile guys. He's gotten a lot better. And I sometimes look at it like, is it Sam or Caleb? Even though, again, you put Sam maybe more of a D lineman. But he's another guy who brings depth, and you know, the D line's interesting too. But Tier Tart, he dominated, as someone pointed on the text line. Now, this is where, who's he dominating? He's not dominating starters, so you have to keep that in mind. Also, it was interesting to me how much he played. I mean, Tier Tart is really talented and is one of the underrated players on this team. I think he's also could be in better shape than he is. And conditioning is important. Now, how much is he going to play in a given game? You know, I mean, I think enough that you got to be in better shape. He's a guy who I think is probably going to, if he has the year that I think he could have, you know, I think he's setting himself up for a payday.
Yep.
But you just want to keep in mind that you're dominating a little bit.
Right. Right?
But I know that even in practice last week, there was some dominating going on with Tier Tart. He is one of the unsung guys on this team who makes a difference with that front.
How concerned are you about Kyle Phillips with the knee? And, you know, obviously an important year for him to stay healthy. But yeah, here we are. I don't think it's going to be overly serious for Kyle Phillips. But how concerned are you about him heading into – the preseason now, we're talking about yet another injury situation with him.
Yeah, walking in with TD yesterday, walking into the building, you know, he was like, yeah, apparently people were coming at him like talking about Kyle Phillips' weight, you know, and it's like, dude, it's a knee.
Yeah.
I mean, now I kind of actually had, I'm like, I get it a little more when you're talking about shoulder. Like, you just want to bulk up a little bit.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, but even huge guys get shoulder. And I agree. But, like, I feel like, you know, that can help maybe, you know, avoid some injuries if you can get bigger and stronger and things like that, right? Just help you take the punishment a little bit better. But, yeah, I mean, a knee injury. It looks like it was more like helmet on knee. So, and based on the lack of, right now, moves in relation to that, I don't think this is going to – and I had people texting me yesterday, he's out for the year, isn't he? I'm like, I don't think so. But – actually, that, you know, that does bring up a little bit of a hot take I have.
Okay.
Should I give it now? Do I give my hot take
Let's
now?
Do it.
All right, fine. I think Mason Kinsey's gotten better. I think Mason I know. But I'm just saying, I thought about this the other night. Like, if that is a major injury to Kyle Phillips. And by the way, Kyrus Jackson got hurt,
yep,
too. I have not been big on Kyrus Jackson having a real chance of making this team. He had to be an absurd returner to have a chance. And he's good, but I don't think he is. Now he's hurt. I'm just saying, if Kyle Phillips were to be hurt out for an extended period of time, Mason Kinsey is the number two slot guy. Mason Kinsey is better, and he could help this team.
I agree. I think he could – I don't know that he could be Kyle Phillips, but I do think that he could have some meaningful snaps for the Titans at slot receiver. And, you know, that's part of why I think they've kept him around on the practice squad as long as they have at this point, because they see some of that. And – you know, hopefully Kyle Phillips is okay, and because if he's not, then you're starting to get into, all right, you know, is he ever going to be able to stay on the field and actually help the team and those things. But I agree. I mean, Mason Kinsey, I don't think he's ever going to be like some superstar or blow you away, but I think what we saw Saturday, he could do that in a regular season game of, you know, get open, catch the ball, move the chains. He's not probably going to make any explosive plays for you, but get open, catch the ball where it's third and six, third and seven, get your first down and move on. You know, you've already moved past Racing Math. You kicked him aside, and now Mason Kinsey's your guy.
Well,
it's good to see.
If they really want a slot guy, then, and I think they do, then he's a slot guy. He's the backup there.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying.
Is he on your 53?
Yeah. No, but if I found out Phillips was seriously hurt, then he might be, you know. Someone asked about returning punts, by the way.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, I think he's been the guy, Phillips, who has been designated for that. You got Kyrus Jackson as a possibility. You got some other guys you can throw in there, too. A couple questions on the text line about defensive backs that I think are worth getting into here, including one that I forgot is on this team.
Yep, we'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. More on the Titans coming up next. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow at 6:05 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Nick Kieser holding down the fort, live from our 1025 The Game studios. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Pro Golf coming to Nashville this September 14th through the 17th. With the Simmons Bank Open at the Grove Club, text the keyword OPEN, that's O-P-E-N, OPEN, to 615-737-1025, and be entered for a win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink as well. Again, text OPEN to 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, you had a couple of questions regarding Titans defensive backs that you wanted to get to on the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Yeah, and I want to apologize for the text line is popping, so sometimes I'm trying to find who asked it. Well, someone asked about Eric Garore, and again, if he makes this team, I promise I'll learn his name. I think he may fall into the camp hero category. I could be wrong, but he's been out there a lot. He makes plays. He's very physical for sure. I like what I see. I'm not sure I've got him making this team. But some of those guys are interesting. Look, Anthony Kendall, been talking about him since the beginning of camp. And I didn't see him. You know, it took him a while to get out there the other night, which that may tell you something. But, you know, Vrabel mentioned him yesterday in terms of his special team stuff, and that's what it's about. I mean, for those guys, that's what it's all about. They are battling to be so indispensable, so valuable in that aspect of the game that they make the team. So, but I think he's worth bringing up, and certainly he's made himself noticed without question.
Yep.
Someone asked about, will Caleb Farley be on the scene? So right now he's on PUP.
Yep.
So he doesn't count. Now, he was around. It looks like maybe he's starting to come. You know, I've seen more of Raiden's out there kind of working like during practice off to the side than I have Farley. But I know Farley was around this week. Could he be getting closer to returning? Should have asked Vrabel about that yesterday. He would have given us the exact time.
He would have.
But, you know, Farley's going to be on this team when he's active, I believe. I mean, you're talking about, I believe, so according to Over the Cap, it's a, you know, $4.3 million in dead money. So, you know, right? I mean, his cap hit this year is 3.7. So, you know, I mean, so essentially, you would, I mean, it's about half of that is what you'd have to pay him. I think he's going to be on this team. What role will he have? Can he help at all? Is it just, you know, I suppose you could take the hit if there's just no hope at all for him. But I think he'll be on the team, well, and it may be helping the kicking game. I don't know.
If he does, if they don't feel like he can realistically help them,
you can cut him.
Cut him. I mean, I know it's a pretty significant dead cap hit that you're taking at that point. But if you don't feel like he's capable of helping you this year, cut it.
Well,
the
question more ever? Because there is still, right? Like maybe you don't think this year, but you do think that, you know what? No. There's still a player in there. I don't know if
it's not going to be this year. I don't know when it's going to be.
Well, it's coming off the ACL.
I know. But, I mean, this is year three.
Right.
So if it's not going to be, if it's not this year, when's it going to be?
Well, it would have to be next year. I'm not saying it will be, but I'm just saying with coming off the ACL, I mean, the whole – it's a Hail Mary of can he actually go through – now he's off the ACL and all the other stuff, and can he actually be healthy and be next year after all this health be the player? I mean, that's – because I don't – I mean, realistically, I don't think – I mean, he's not going to help him this year. So if you're just based on this year, then I agree with you, but I think you have to – ask yourself, okay, is there a Hail Mary that in year four he could become a player? I mean, I personally would be surprised by that. I mean, I'd be surprised about the health thing in the first place.
Yep.
You know, but I mean, he's not gonna. I suppose you could, if he fully cleared, he looks good out there and all that stuff, you could have him on the roster, and then if and when you have these injuries at corner that you so often do. Well, maybe at some point this year he could help you. But, yeah, it's right now, I think between health and performance, it seems pretty remote.
I just, with a new general manager in here now, I think the time for waiting is done with him. I just do. And I don't, you know, obviously they're way smarter than me, and Vrabel, I think, was sincere in his praise for Caleb Farley and the work that he put in prior to last season, right? He won the offseason award. He did everything in the offseason that they wanted him to do. And then he got out there in the regular season, and he just couldn't do it. Like, he was getting beat deep left and right. At times it looked like he didn't really know where to be out there and what he was doing. And then you have another back injury, and you start to think back to all the injuries that have compiled. Had an ACL in college, had an ACL in the pros, back problems in college, now back problems in the pros. Like, from an injury perspective, it's just hard to imagine him really ever getting there. But performance-wise, too, like, to me, if he's not helping you this year, I don't have any interest if I'm the Titans and holding on for another year to next year either.
Yeah. I mean, history revisionists, such as one in particular, who don't remember that he actually – had a couple good weeks at least of camp last year. He showed something. He showed some speed and some physicality and the size. I mean, he's got some gifts that are absolutely attractive for an NFL cornerback, you know. But yeah, look, I can't disagree. Like the idea that he is suddenly going to put all this behind him and find a long stretch of health and be an effective player seems pretty remote. Yeah. But it's one of those things in the building. First of all, like, okay, what's the diagnosis? Can he be fully recovered? I mean, how's the back? I don't know. It's the ACL now, but how's the back? Is all this time on the shelf, does that help that?
Well, it's the back now, isn't it?
It's ACL, right?
I think it's a back. I don't think it's ACL.
Okay. Well, I could be wrong, but I was pretty sure he tore his ACL last year.
I don't think so. It was the year before.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. We're getting confused on Caleb Farley's injuries. Well, he's had both. He's had multiple of both, right?
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, look, it's to go back to the original question, is he on the team? Yeah, I think so. I think he's on the team this year. Once he comes off PUP, right now he doesn't count. Maybe he's on PUP for an extended period of time while they just try to, you know, like it's a longer rehab because it's all this stuff and they can not have him count. But, you know, it's at this point, if Caleb Farley has any kind of NFL career, it's an upset, big upset.
Yeah, no question about that. And then, you know, secondary-wise, you know, the big question I actually think they've got decent depth at corner right now. Like, safety is the one where, like, if somebody goes down, that's when you start to worry about it a little bit. But, like, I think corner-wise, I feel okay about where they're at right now from a depth perspective with corner. Like, you know, to your point, you know, Caleb Farley has become an afterthought because, you know, he's not been available at this point. So, you know, you got Sean Murphy Bunting that you brought in. You've got Christian Fulton. You've got, a lot, you know, Roger McCreary, all these people that you've signed. You know, I just think that they're in a spot at corner right now where I just don't see him being a factor as they move in. And it's a shame because I'm with you. Like, you watch some of his tape in college and even some plays that he's made in the NFL so far, and you're like, okay, he can run. Like, the speed that he's got is pretty good. That combination of size and speed at the corner position, it's hard to find, which is why he was drafted where he was drafted, right? I mean, you know, we talked about in the draft process.
Well, he would have been a top 10 pick.
Right. Like, he had not played a ton of corner, but the physical tools that he brought to the table was why he was drafted where he was. It's just been a really unfortunate string of injuries, and it's hard to imagine that getting better. And look, and then there's the Dylan Radins part of this too, right? Like, is there going to be a point in time this year where he's recovered from the ACL and he's ready to give them meaningful snaps or at least in a reserve role for the Titans? I don't know.
Yeah, and I think he's got a chance to factor in as like the ninth guy or something like that. I still believe with Dylan Radins, but I apologize. You were right. It is the back. So it was back ACL 21 last year. So he had back surgery, as Josh says, as Josh and Will both said, Skiatika acting up again. But yeah, and that's another back surgery. I mean, hey, good for him. It would be an incredible story if he somehow gets through all this, but, I mean, what are the odds? They're pretty long.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have more on the Titans, some takeaways from the game against Minnesota coming up next. We will also have our first trivia question of the week coming up next for the first spot in the third annual Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League.
Oh,
looking
boy.
Forward to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. We are live out in Hendersonville, Tennessee at Dunkin', the reopening of Dunkin' at 206 Indian Lake Boulevard. We're going to be out here until 9 a.m. Got gift cards to give away. Pumpkin is in. Sign up for rewards and receive $5 gift cards and fun Dunkin' giveaways while supplies last. Again, 206 Indian Lake Boulevard out here in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Joe and I will be out here until 9 o'clock, so looking forward to seeing y'all out here today. A recently remodeled next-gen Dunkin' location, so looks really good in here. Hope you guys can make it out. 206 Indian Lake Boulevard here on Robbie and Rex Show. Joe, it is that time to give away our first spot for the third annual Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. We've had 2 years of the league to this point. I won the first year. Brennan Rex Road won the second year. So
two very cocky people.
Two very cocky
people
humbled. That may or may not be humbled in the Fantasy Football League this year. We'll see what happens. But it's time for our listeners to step the game up a little bit. We need a listener to see if they can challenge for a title as we get here. We're about to give away our first spot. We're going to give away 8 spots this year, so we're going to have a 12-team league. Myself, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser, Brennan Rexroad returning as the champion. 4 spots I've spoken for. We got 8 to give away to our listeners, and we're going to have a draft at Twin Peaks coming up. We'll have more information on that here in the next few days. But we'll give away 5 spots this week, 3 spots next week, and we'll have our fantasy football draft shortly before the beginning of the regular season. And today's spot comes down to this trivia question. We talked about this earlier, Joe. The Titans have had more success on the playoff in the playoffs on the road than they have at home. When was the last time the Titans won a home playoff game, and who was it against? When was the last time the Titans won a home playoff game, and who was the opponent? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The first person to correctly guess the answer will be our first winner in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League, the first spot available today.
I got to say, I have known this, and yet when you asked the question, I looked it up, and I was like, oh, my gosh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I want to see some fast, accurate answers here. This always gets – I mean, this gets competitive.
People are fired up about the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League, so we appreciate that. We'll keep you updated. Again, the last time the Titans won a home playoff game, and the opponent. If you know the answer, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, any more takeaways from the game on Saturday? Titans win 24-16 in Minnesota, game two of the preseason. We've talked a lot about Malik Willis, the running back position. You know, obviously not a ton of starters playing on the defensive side of the ball, but Titans run defense is going to be pretty ferocious again this year, I think. It's pretty hard to run the ball against the Titans. Shout out to Ty Chandler, by the way. 11 carries, 24 yards. 2-2 a carry.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, Tart's out there getting some serious work and blowing people up left and right. I am interested on defensive line, as I said, and we'll delve into that. Exciting, scintillating 53 later. But
looking forward to it.
You know, Jaden Peavy is a guy who, you know, I think has kind of established himself. Naquan Jones, a guy who has been a little banged up. And, you know, you wonder about him making the team. I mean, I think that he has been a nice find for this team, but there is other competition there. Another guy who, I mean, Vrabel just said yesterday just not available. But Monty Rice, you know, something happened to him in the Bears game, which I think was part of the low number of snaps. And then he wasn't around at all last week. So there's a guy who trying to compete with Jack Gibbons. Look, I mean, I don't watch Jack Gibbons and say, oh, man, that guy is, you know, Brian Urlacher. I mean, you know, I feel like you want competition there. And Monty Rice right now isn't, you know, around to provide it. So what's the situation there? A guy who, for a second straight preseason, I really like what he does, both when he gets a chance to play defense and in the kicking game, is Chance Campbell. The guy moves around and makes plays. But, yeah, I mean, there's so little evaluation on defense right now because it's a guy here and there, and then everybody else is just put that baseball hat on. They're gonna be very good. Very interesting that Vrabel mentioned yesterday Harold Landry possibly playing Friday.
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that at
all.
For a guy coming off an ACL, but that'll be interesting. I mean, that definitely goes against the idea that Vrabel's just has no use at all for these preseason games. He just wants to avoid injury, right?
Yeah.
If Landry plays. Of course, it'll also probably re-spark these screams of why Tannehill isn't playing. The great controversy of the preseason 2023.
Well, I can't wait for the curveball on Friday, and Tannehill comes out and plays the whole first half and the first series into the second half. Like, remember the old you know, back when, like, I remember McNair used to play. He'd play the whole first half, and then they'd come out and have the first series of the second half just because you want to, quote, know what it's like coming out of the locker room. And I was like, yeah, I think Steve McNair probably knows what it's like coming out of the locker room. Get ready for the regular season. But that's what they used to do, a whole half and then the first series of the second half.
I mean, it was glorious, man. It was glorious. I've
then
told
they this. Took the starters out, and the whole stadium leaves, and you get the mass exodus down to the front row if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And now it's like, well, come on out if you like. It seems like that Vikings crowd, you know, you just watch on TV, watch the SC and the Titans game. You can tell, like, crowd. It seemed like the Vikings crowd was very excited.
Yeah.
Like, they had a good crowd. They were into it, and it's like, go Nick Mullins.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, we have a winner on our trivia question. Josh on the text line, the winner, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last time the Titans won a home playoff game.
An avalanche of correct answers,
yes.
But not quite as fast as Josh.
A lot of participation on the text line. It was actually the 2002 season, but the game was on January 11th, 2003. So the divisional, I think that was divisional round.
Yeah.
Titans Steelers back in 03, the last time they won a home playoff game, which I remember, I think we discussed when they hosted the Bengals last, which has been a long time since the Titans won a home playoff game. And it has been literally 20 years since the Titans have won a home playoff game. Hard to believe.
And I think so. That's the team that ended up getting thumped by the Raiders in the AFC title game, right? On the road, yeah.
Yep.
The Rich Gannon Raiders. Yeah, that is amazing.
Yeah,
it really is.
Well, and they've not had a ton since then. I mean, they had the Baltimore game in 08.
The 08 team.
For the 08 team. You had, obviously, the Baltimore game
again
here at home.
Baltimore game.
The Cincinnati game here at home. I think those are the only three that they've had at home since then, which is not good.
No, that's not good. But, again, it's like, now, as I say this, the Preds won the Western Conference Finals in the city of Nashville. But it does feel like a lot of the good things happen away. For local teams happen away from the city.
That has been the case. We'll have more spots to give away in the Robbie and Rexroad Fantasy Football League all week long, so make sure you stay tuned in for that. We'll have four more spots this week, three spots next week, and that will round out our Robbie and Rexroad Fantasy Football League, so looking forward to that. I said this earlier, I don't think we got a good read on the kickers. I mean, Trey Wolf ends up 1-for-1 kicking a 22-yard field goal. Like you said, he banked one in off the post with an extra point. Caleb Shudak, only one attempt on the night, was an extra point. He hit it. But overall, I don't know that we discovered a whole lot about the kicking game on Saturday, which is disappointing. I would have liked to have seen, you know, both guys get an opportunity maybe from 35-plus out, at least 40 out would be a good time to see that. But didn't see it on Saturday. You know, Michael Badgley's been released by Washington, so add another
Titans
name
know
to the
him.
Veteran. Add another name to the veteran kicker list.
He's
so.
Been here.
I'm really interested to see what this last week looks like there. How confident are Vrabel and the Titans and Craig Aukerman in the kicking that we're seeing to this point in training camp?
To me, it's gone back around to Caleb Shudak as the favorite, but I think it's more favored by default. Trey Wolf missing the 48-yarder, pushing that extra point, and doinking that in, but he just hasn't been solid enough here. So I think it's Shudak's job if one of them is going to win it. I just don't know if Shudak still has to win it.
Yeah.
And he didn't have an opportunity Saturday. So if you're him, it's like, yeah, great. I got an extra point and I made it. Like, what do you want me to do? But I think it'll be interesting. Like, do they start shifting focus a little bit? Like, okay, Caleb, win the job now. Or, you know, do they continue to just kind of go back and forth? Right now, I think Wolf's just faded here. It's not a ton of opportunity, but you have those precious few reps that you got to take advantage of them.
No question. And look, I mean, this is, we talked about on Friday a lot about kicker and the just how important it is to get that part of it figured out. And if you don't do it, could that be the difference in a game or two this year in a division that we think is going to be really tight with Jacksonville and Tennessee? Like, that could end up being the difference. And there was so much to point to last year. I mean, look, they fired the general manager halfway through the season when they were 7-5, and it collapsed after that. They lost seven games in a row. They had a ton of injuries. So it's not like it was all coming down to kicking last year. But, I mean, Randy Bullock makes one kick against New York, and you won the division, and you're not having to worry about that last game. So that's how thin the margin can be in the NFL when it comes to that position.
Yeah, and that's just troubling for this team. I mean, they can go out and find someone. I mean, I think it's absolutely possible they can find someone better than either of these two guys, you know?
Yeah.
Now, look, what I know some Titans fans are going to expect is that's what they'll do, and they'll go get an okay veteran and be okay but not great, and then Shudak will go somewhere and be a 10-year star, you know? And that's the thing. You don't want to let that go if you've got that, but I think he's got to show more to believe it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 745. We'll do that next. You're listening to 1025-1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
In round 11.
Miami gets it done on Saturday. They take down Nashville SC and PKs. It is that time of the day. Time for the Robert. By the way, I don't know who was calling that, but my gosh, were they excited on that one.
Yeah, you know.
Reminds me of like Nick Kieser when he's calling Milwaukee Admirals hockey.
You know, a lot of times fans complain about announcers being biased against their team and for the other team.
Yep.
That did sound a little fanish. That was a little fanish.
Jeez. Going nuts. Miami wins the Leagues Cup final on Saturday night at Geodis Park. And my rant today is a little bit less of a rant. I mean, it's more of a rant at myself. Saturday night was the it was the first time I've made it over to Geodis Park. So, I've been going to Nashville SC games for a while. Like, we were talking we got tagged in a tweet last week about Nashville FC at the time, a fan-owned little club team playing their first game in Knoxville at Tennessee Soccer Stadium. I remember being there for that, and, you know, they were in the NPSL and used to play games over at Vanderbilt's football stadium, and there was like 125 of us in the stands watching them play. It was really fun to do all those things. But just from life getting in the way, I had not made it over to Geodis yet. Quite frankly, some of it was because of I knew the parking was a disaster right over there, and I can confirm after Saturday night it kind of is a disaster over there. But it was really cool to be there on Saturday just for that environment. And look, people were still arguing this last night about where that event itself ranks in terms of sporting events that have taken place in our city. And we talked about this the other day. Like, you know, it's hard to convince me that it's bigger than – a Stanley Cup final or even a Western Conference final with the Predators or a divisional playoff game with the Titans. I mean, NFL is the best football league in the world. NHL is the best hockey league in the world. And I know this was Leagues Cup, so it's not just the MLS, but it's, you're not talking about the top soccer leagues in the world when you're talking about this competition. I will say, though, having Messi in there, the eyeballs on that game, the Apple TV stuff, which I know people around here – it's really annoying at times for, you know, you have to go sign up for Apple TV to watch the game. Worldwide, since Messi has come over, that part of it's been a huge hit, and he gets a part of that that TV money from Apple TV with his contract in MLS. Apparently a ton of people watching the game the other night between Nashville and Miami around the world just for Lionel Messi, and deservedly so. The goal he scored was unbelievable in the first half of that game the other night. I thought Nashville SC was the better team in the second half. They had a couple of good opportunities late in the game to win it. Weren't able to convert. They had a nice, what it really kind of amounted to a two-on-one with Sam Surridge and Hani Mukhtar late in the second half. And I thought that was going to be the one where they took the lead, but weren't able to get it done. They go to penalty kicks, and the penalty kicks go, you know, deep enough to where the goalkeepers have to be the one kicking. So you're talking about as close of a margin as you can really get in the difference between a championship and not for Nashville SC. I thought the environment was great. 30,000 people there. It was sold out. It was loud from the beginning. It was just a really fun night. And I know, you know, nobody wants to be second place. Nobody wants to, you know, have any moral victories or anything like that. And I get all that. I just thought, even in the loss, I thought Saturday night was an incredible night for Nashville SC in terms of the visibility of their product, both nationally, around the world, but especially here locally. I mean, there was a lot of buzz about that game heading into the game. You know, my friend and I got an Uber on the way down there. It's all the Uber driver was talking about was Nashville SC and the game and all those things. So I thought Saturday night was a really good night for soccer in this city. And I know that they didn't win the game and you're looking for hardware and all those things, but I just thought it was an incredible environment, an incredible soccer game. And if you haven't made it out to Geodis Park yet, I would encourage you to go do it because it was a really fun time on Saturday.
Yeah, no, well said, and it's awesome that you went. I think it's an incredible moment. I have an issue with people saying this is like flat out the biggest sporting event in the history of the city.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Let me ask you this. Let's say this is the Leagues Cup final against just, you know, some other team, you know. Or Inter Miami without Messi or just any other team. Leagues Cup, it's the Leagues Cup final. It's for hardware. You know, what is that? I mean, Messi.
He's a big part.
Made a huge, and so, again, now Messi brings in those global eyeballs. And so, for sure, like, there's no doubt you look at that and say that's a big deal. It was a big deal. Had they won against him and won the Leagues Cup, the very first Leagues Cup trophy,
right,
would that be better, bigger than winning MLS Cup this year?
I don't think so. Like,
no.
It's a championship, right? But it's not it's just you know, we talked about this with the NBA, with the in-season tournament they've got coming up. It's just a different thing, right? Like, so if, you know, the Charlotte Hornets go out and win the NBA in-season tournament, how many people are going to remember that? It's different with this because it is, you know, soccer has this ingrained in it of in-season tournaments, and, you know, the League's Cup is not the only in-season tournament, you know, these leagues have. But I agree with you. It's not a – Messi makes this a huge deal, and had they won, I think that would have been why it was such a big deal, in addition to winning hardware and the, quote, first championship that they've won in pro sports here in the city. I think who they would have beaten would have made it a massive deal.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was massive, there's no doubt. But and the comparisons I get, wrote about them, we talked about last year, the last – week or what, even if you want to go from the beginning of the League's Cup to the finish, it did not compare to what happened in this city with the Stanley Cup final.
No.
I'm sorry. No. It just didn't. I mean, I just won't hear that. I just completely disagree. Now, I do want to say I'm glad you brought that up, by the way, because Sean Henry texted me, and it was unfortunately before I got it before the show ended. But I did not. We need to correct ourselves.
Okay.
Because there is a professional sports championship in Nashville. Nashville Stampede won the championship last year.
That is true.
And Sean also offered his services to be hired as a fact checker, which I said we will pay you in coffee.
Need.
But so that is something to keep in mind. But, you know, Teresa Walker got into this on Twitter yesterday with some people. She was like, Music City Miracle. That's an interesting one, too, because that's remembered forever because of the what happened
the play,
in
yeah.
the game, right?
Right.
I mean, other than that, it's just a divisional round game against the Bills.
That was a wild card, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was a wild – yeah, exactly. A wild card game against quarterback Rob Johnson and the Bills.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But what happened in the field of play or in the arena of play is what is enduring. So it's interesting, too. Like, that to me, you're comparing that. I mean, look, Colton Sissons getting a hat trick to send the Preds to the freaking Stanley Cup final? No.
Yeah, it's just different.
That has not been equaled.
No, it is not. Now, you know, we got asked earlier about the crowd Saturday and the split and what it looked like. I mean, I'm terrible at assigning percentages to things like that. If I had to assign one, though, I would say 75% at least Nashville SC fans. There were a lot of Messi jerseys. I mean, you would expect that with a superstar to his level coming in. But I thought it was clearly home field advantage for Nashville SC. The crowd was great. And, look, Gary Smith, I think, said it best after the game, Joe. I thought Nashville SC was the better team, and they gave Lionel Messi about 10 seconds of room, and he made him pay for it. I mean, that's what it was. I mean, go back and watch that goal. It's an absurd play by him, and he goes around Walker Zimmerman. I mean, you're talking about a two-time MLS Defender of the Year. He goes around Walker Zimmerman. He's on his left foot, and he just bends it back into the side right underneath the bar there. I mean, you're talking about – one of five
Sick.
Or six people around the world that can make that shot. I mean, it's an incredible play by him. And, you know, Gary Smith, I think, called him the man of the match after the, like, it's just what he is. Like, if they don't have Lionel Messi, Nashville SC wins, and it's a different story, but they do, and that's why he's the best soccer player of all time.
If they didn't have Lionel Messi, Miami wouldn't have been there. But if they didn't have Lionel Messi and they were there, then you would have been able to get in that building at a pretty nice price, right? I mean, it's just such a different thing because of his presence. But that's what's amazing is that you still have this guy who, the greatest of all time, I think most soccer people would agree with that, who's still playing at a high level. That's what's amazing about it.
Well, and then finishing it off with penalty kicks, getting all the way down to the goalkeepers was
love it.
Quite something. I mean,
if you're going to do penalty kicks, you got to be able to have some goalie.
A lot of goals
kicks.
in the PKs. Not a ton of saves that were made on either side in the PKs on Saturday. Which, hey, I was wondering, like, at some
Zimmerman
point,
went right down the middle. That's what you do, man. That's what I do every
right
time.
Right down the middle, just watch them.
They're
going
to dive one way
side.
Or the other.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, at some point, like if they just keep going and keep scoring, you ever move this thing back? Like going from a little bit further
make
back,
them, make them that little bit.
Like, yeah, what are we doing? Yeah,
a little smaller.
But I'll be honest with you. I was unaware until it happened that the goalies were allowed to kick and that they had to kick. So when I saw the Miami goalie rolling out there, I was like, oh, this is happening, huh? He's getting out there to kick, and then I guess ours is going up next. But
The Preds need to get UC Soros out there one time. Yeah. I mean, I'd rather watch him take a penalty shot than, you know, Ryan Johansson take 9 minutes to skate around and, you know, do
the slow Joe,
do ice capades. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, the thing is, you get in the aftermath of this tournament if you're National SC, and now you got the rest of your MLS season to finish off. Like, they're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to have a run at trying to win the MLS Cup. So all this energy that you focused on this tournament, it's been so great for the city, and now you got to kind of lock back in and get ready for the rest of your stretch run here.
Get back to your day job.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's interesting. It's one of those – soccer brain. I don't have soccer brain,
yeah.
So it's kind of hard
to learn
for me.
Soccer brain.
Yeah. I think you added some soccer brain the other night.
I did. It was a fun time, really fun time at Geodis Park, and saw a lot of y'all out there too. Thanks for coming up and saying hi. So appreciate that and the support for the show. But really enjoyed myself at Geodis Park. If you haven't made it out to a game yet, I would encourage you to go check it out. By the way, one underrated part of this, and I was talking about this with a buddy last night, the concourses at Geodis Park, very wide. It's awesome. Like, you're not getting jammed up with people. Enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the game day experience.
Concourse width is very important.
Very, very good stuff. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans in their preseason game against Minnesota on Saturday night. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.